Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons on The Score.
Okay, I know we just see the results of the offense the last week, but yeah, see in the process of it that I guess would make you confident they can pull out of this, you know, starting tomorrow.
The confidence is that we have some pretty talented players. There's no, again, no magic bullet. It's no secret. You know, the conversation that was had with them through the work that they were doing today was to try to get guys to stay more centered on the strike zone. Again, obviously easier said than done, but I can't even consider thinking that there's anything wrong in particular with the talent that we have. Just we're not executing. We're not getting it done.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
White Sox are not getting it done. That's Rick Renteria. We'll hopefully hear from him a little bit later on after some follow-up to Dallas Keuchel's comments last night. White Sox lost again, and it was ugly. We're going to have Daniel Negreanu on, maybe the most famous poker player in the world. Big Vegas Knights fan because the Hawks and the Knights get going tonight in the official first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. He was he was a big ambassador and big part of the reason why Vegas got an NHL team. So we'll talk about the Golden Knights and some poker stories with Daniel Negreanu at 3:30, Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock. The news of the day that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have canceled fall sports, obviously most notably college football, while the Big 12, SEC, and ACC tried to go forward. Mac, before we play the comments from Dallas Keuchel that were calling out his teammates, or some of his teammates, I just want to say on the front end that I don't have any problem with it. This is, in a way, what they paid him for, right? The Cubs paid John Lester, yes, to perform on the field, but also to bring in a winning culture and teach guys how to win and be professional and how to take the ball every fifth day and everything that goes with that. It was an important step for a young team. The Royals did it with James Shields. Like, this is a thing that organizations do when their core is really young. You try to support them and surround them by veterans. For the White Sox with position players, they already felt that they had that with Jose Abreu as such a strong influence on the position players, the hitters, the Cuban pipeline that they've had for their position player group. But that's what Dallas Keuchel was supposed to be for the pitchers. So I have no problem with him being critical of his teammates last night.
I don't either. I would prefer it be a position player, but I mean, who's that guy going to be? Who's the one guy who's really been there and been consistently performing? He's a 23-year-old kid. I'm not so sure that's something that he's going to do anytime soon. If it's not going to be Abreu, it's not going to be Grandal. They're not producing, so they're not going to be the ones who stand up and do it. It's not typical where a pitcher call out positional players because he only works every fifth day. That's why most of them are reluctant to do that sort of thing. But Keuchel must be put off so much where he felt the need to call some guys out, and I'm glad he did, because they have been playing with this malaise lately, and I don't know what it's going to take to bust out of it, and I don't think they know, but it's ugly, because it's just like hitting is contagious. I believe that, just as Ian Happ does, so does not hitting. Not hitting also rubs off on people.
All right, so let's hear the specifics of what Dallas Keuchel said, who obviously was the starting pitcher last night, part of why he felt let down by the effort, both at the plate and in the field.
I would have liked to see the team play better tonight, especially after kind of a defeating loss last night with Giolito and Bieber going at it. I mean, we just came out flat, and I feel like we just stayed flat the whole game. You know, we got a lot of guys, you know, let me take that back. We got some guys coming out and taking professional at bats, you know, being professional on the mound and doing what it takes to win. We got some guys kind of going through the motions. So we need to clean a lot of things up. And you know, if we want to be in this thing at the end of the season, we're going to have to start that now. And like I mentioned to you guys before, When you have enough talent to potentially win every game, it's very frustrating when you have games like this, and it just seemed like we were out of it from the get-go.
Right, Mark.
Dallas, when you're saying going through the motions, can you explain that a little more, what you're talking about?
Well, sometimes you show up to the park. I mean, we got in at 2:30 in the morning. I mean, we played a tough ball game against the Indians. That's who we're going to have to beat if we're going to win this division or we get into the playoffs. And it just seemed like we were taking a night off. We can't afford that with a young core that we have here. We got to show up every day, and even if there's no fans, we got to make sure that we're ready to go. And if we're not ready to go, we got to fake it till we make it. And just seemed like today was one of the first games that I've seen very subpar play from everybody.
Amon?
Yeah, Dallas. Yeah, just what are those first steps to turning things back around?
Well, I mean, the first thing is knowing, hey, if you love baseball, show up to the park every day and make sure that you're ready to go. Like I said, if you're sluggish one day, or I mean, through the course of a season, you're not going to come to the ballpark feeling fresh every day. That's the beauty of baseball, is that when you show up to the park at 2 p.m., you don't always have to feel your greatest. But at 7 o'clock, when the lights come on, and even though, like I said, there's no fans, you're playing a competition baseball, and if you don't want to dominate the guy who's throwing to you, or if you don't want to compete against the whole lineup that you're facing, you're in the wrong sport. But you know, there's gonna be a lot of learning curves for this team, just because of the process that this team has kind of been under the last 2-3 years, and this is one of them. So we're facing a challenge. We face a challenge tonight, and you know, hopefully we can come out tomorrow and strap it up and play some White Sox baseball.
Megan,
now, so you feel like the leadership structure is in place for those conversations or that type of shift to happen, or do you feel like those conversations are already happening?
Yeah, it's not going to be something that just happens overnight. And I've seen this play out many times, and you know, it takes a while. So. You know, luckily we've afforded ourselves. We didn't start out hot. We kind of caught fire a little bit. We weren't even playing great, but we were getting wins. So to kind of be hovering here is in a great spot. And that's why I'm so frustrated with tonight, is we have a great opportunity these next couple games to really get some wins and keep moving the wagon forward. So, you know, as frustrating as it is tonight, we could very well easily come out tomorrow and play like we're supposed to, and then win the series on Wednesday. So, you know, it's something that happens on a young team, but we're going to have to keep pushing forward.
Who's Levine with the last question?
Dallas, with all due respect to both you and Ricky, when a manager comes out like that and that's your game, aren't you kind of like in no man's land as far as, you know, you're not going to say, take me out, are you? I mean, at that point, what position are you in when that happens?
Ricky's done a great job with myself. I don't know how he operates with the other starters, but in my instance, he's done a great job communicating with me and vice versa. Hey, you know, how are you feeling, man? And I'm truthful with him. I've I've been down this road many a times, and I've lied to myself and to management saying, hey, I'm still good to go. You know, I don't do that anymore. I'm very honest and very open with all the coaching staff, especially Ricky. You know, he asked me after the six how I was feeling. I said, hey, I got one more in me. I'm going to empty the tank for you. And, you know, when he came out after kind of Lario hit that triple, which was a really good pitch in my case, he said, hey, this is your guy, so let's get him. It just so happens I jammed him, but he got enough wood on it to get it out to short right. But, you know, these things happen. But I know I was giving my all. I had a little bit left in the tank, and, you know, I communicated that to Ricky, and you know, he let me know, hey, I got help for you, too, if you need it.
I got no problem with any of it, Mac.
Going through the motions, guys, going through the motions and coming out flat. And, you know, I wish he could be a little bit more is it just the because someone asked him to follow up on that. Is he just talking about the lack of offense? That I don't know what else could it be, because you only had one guy in the lineup last night, and that's Danny Mendick, who hit eighth, who had a multiple hit night. He was 3-for-4 hitting out of the eighth spot. You only had one hit from the top of the order, Leury Garcia. Moncada was 1-for-4. Grandal was 0-for-3 with a couple of strikeouts. He also drew the only walk, and I'm thinking that might be part of it too, that Sox hitters weren't exactly working Tigers pitchers deep into counts. I mean, they only were on base with a walk one time. Abreu was 1-for-4. Jimenez was 1-for-4.
They got a lot of free swingers.
I guess that's what he's talking about. He's just talking about guys just not producing runs, not hitting the ball.
Young guys, he said. He stopped himself. He said, we got a lot of guys, and he goes, young guys. So you look at the guys that were in the lineup last night, and you mentioned Mendick, who's literally had the best approach on the team the past week, mm-hmm. So it's not him. Moncada looks like, you know, he's struggling a bit. He's not, you know, keeping up with the pace he was at. Eloy saw 8 pitches last night and 4 at-bats. And he was 0-for-22 coming into the game last night. He finally broke out of it with a single. But, you know, it's
– mercy.
That's – I you know, if I had to speculate who he's talking about, and, you know, it's to – you know, to Eloy, as far as we know how he goes, you know, he looks like he doesn't care out there because he has a good time. But there has to be a fine line with – you know, playing loose and having fun, but also dialing it in a little bit, focusing, having better at bats. You know, but if you get a good pitch on first, you know, the first pitch strike, be ready to hammer it. You know, don't let them give you a, you know, first pitch strike, take it, and then all of a sudden you're, you know, swinging at the bad stuff later on in the at bat. You know, it's 8 pitches all night he saw. So I can't help but think that's what he's talking about.
That's a real good candidate with his whopping 661 OPS right now. Last year's 31 home run man as a rookie.
Yeah, that's a damning approach, and obviously that's coming off of the embarrassing play and left a couple of nights ago. I heard Mully talking about Adam Engel's route to the ball on the inside the park home run.
Yeah, and he had the whole state of Michigan behind him. He's got to know better than that. In that ballpark, you can't make that play. But I don't mind physical errors made out of aggression. You know, time and place, sure. But a guy usually makes that play. Engel usually is the guy that's going to give you a shot to make that play. It's just one of those freak things, I think. But you certainly don't like to see it. But
right, I was just saying, I don't think his of what you're talking about with the young guys. Like, I don't think that's what it was. But I absolutely could see Dallas Keuchel starting pitcher be frustrated by a bigger number put on the board than it should have been because of that bad of a play behind him. So even if he wasn't necessarily talking about Engel, he could have been just I think it led to some of his frustrations that had him speaking out like that. But I also thought it was interesting in there, you know, he said, we got to get back to playing. We got to play White Sox baseball. Got to get back to playing White Sox baseball. This season is largely about defining what that is.
Well, it's right. It's a feast or famine lineup. I mean, it's a lineup that they're going to either hit a ton or they're going to go in a long funks like they are right now. Just it seems like. I don't know if you can call it a long funk, but they haven't been knocking the ball around the ballpark very effectively the last few nights out. It's not been fun to watch. Hey,
well, they don't have guys who've won, like, other than Keuchel, Tanny, Who won the White Sox?
Yeah, Yasmani Grandal has won. Yeah. And he's the highest paid player in team history. Just as there was with Khalil Mack in the fall, this dude's got to get up off his ass and start hitting the ball. What he's done is not acceptable. It's we're late enough into this. He's had enough at-bats now where he should be making enough. He's making a difference. He's batting 240 with a limp-ass OPS as well. I don't think he's hit a home run yet.
He has not hit a home run.
Yeah, and I have not been impressed with his defense behind the plate. As far as keeping runners at bay, he's doing fine there, and the pitch framing has been everything you hoped it would be. But, you know, the pass balls, and I know he's dealing with a foot injury and all, but even, you know, as a veteran who comes in here, and not everyone is this guy, but he's a guy that, you know, he's got skins on the wall. So I don't care if he's not performing. He's got to be able to have the stones and get up and say something, even though he's not performing, because that's the type of respect that you have to merit when you've, you know, been through it all as a major league veteran like he has. I don't even mind that he's not hitting. You can totally say what's on your mind if you're not hitting, because he's at least done it before. But
it's 50 at bats. When you say he's had enough at bats, I mean, a 50 at bat slump in a normal season, no one would really bat an eye at it. That's not that many at bats so far this year. But Tanny, we talked about this, man. That's not what Grandal is. He's really talented. He makes the pitching staff better through his framing. At least that's the reputation that he comes with. He comes with the reputation of being a guy who will give you a professional at-bat, work counts, good on-base percentage guy. But he did not come to the White Sox with a very good reputation as being a leader or a well-liked teammate.
His pitchers like him. There have been some other guys he's rubbed wrong over the years, but the guys he works with directly seem to like him, don't they?
I think that they like what he does for them on the field more so than the personality.
Well, that's all I care about. I don't really give a damn if they don't like him, as long as they respect him and they're getting something out of each other. They're helping each other. They don't have to be, you know, hangout buddies.
I agree, but we were talking about, like, what veterans on this team can hold them accountable that have some pelts on the wall. Like,
yeah.
Abreu's a veteran who the guys respect, but he hasn't won anything.
He's baby Huey. He's not wired that way.
Well, so who is it?
Nice.
I mean, Tim Anderson has edge. Tim Anderson has a good work ethic. He's not playing right now.
Right. When you're not playing, you're not going to do it when you're not playing.
But also another guy that hasn't won. You know, I think that's why Keuchel did what he did last night, because he looks around the room and he's been in enough MLB clubhouses before where he knows the types. He knows the guys, you know, around him that are going to speak up and say something. And maybe he's like, you know what? I don't think anyone's going to do it, so I'm just going to do it right now as a pitcher, which is really, really not customary way to go about doing things, like you guys mentioned. Like, for a pitcher to come out and criticize the offense, that's so incredibly rare. So I think he's taking it upon himself, like, you know what, if someone's gonna have to do it, I don't mind it being me, and I'm performing, so I have no problem with it.
I thought it was great. If he thought it was necessary, who else is going to do it that has more pedigree than him on that team?
Well, the manager can do it. Manager's always capable of doing it, right?
Well, manager had a team meeting yesterday, Jason Benetti said on the broadcast.
See?
They had a team meeting before the game yesterday. And, you know, as Herb pointed out yesterday when we did the podcast, one of Ozzie Guillen's great lines is, you know, bad teams have meetings. You know, and you know, we're getting some Zoom calls in right now. You know, Tim Anderson scheduled to speak, I believe. So you would think maybe he'd be back in the lineup tonight. But James McCann saying that Keuchel told the team yesterday, before he told the media, all the same things that he said to the media. So at least he's not one of these guys running around saying one thing and then you know, turning around when after he's got his shower. Although they can't shower this year.
Right.
Stinky boys.
And good. Like that's doing it the right way in the professional way. I honestly think this might end up being a good thing for the White Sox, whether it's this year or in the future.
Yeah, it's part of the process. Yeah, it's part of what has to happen to learn how to win ball games. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
exactly. So
I have some bumps. You know, you got to expect there's going to be a few 4 or 5 game losing streaks along the way. You're going to have a few of these. It's just ugly. It's always ugly when you don't score. It's always magnified when you don't score runs, especially when your team is supposed to be as King Kongian as the White Sox are supposed to be. This is supposed to be a team that can slug its way to 30 victories this year, and the rest is gravy, right? I mean, they're not doing that as of yet. And Eloy, the list starts with Eloy, and the more I think about it, the more I think Tannehill's right. I think that's exactly who Dallas Keuchel is pointing the finger at.
My guess is it's more than one guy, and my guess is it was a little bit more than just last night.
Yeah, Danny's right in that regard, and I hate saying it, but you'd think, you know, you take a guy to the side privately if it's just one guy. But yeah, I think there is some validity to the angle thing. And he mentioned, you know, some pitchers too go about their business the right way. So I don't know if he sees this type of thing going on in the bullpen as well, and just trying to, you know, snuff it out early here. But yeah, it's definitely not just Eloy, but he, you know, going in the game over 22 certainly didn't help. And his bad approach last night, you know, he's going to carry you when he's hot, but he's everything that's wrong with the offense right now. I think they're second in batting average in all of baseball. That's great, but they're like middle of the road in on base percentage. Their approach stinks right now. So and when they're hitting home runs, you can overlook it, but they're middle of the road in that category too because so many guys are hurt. So
Robert too, man. I mean, and Robert's obviously incredibly talented, but that guy swings at a lot of pitches.
Yeah, and they gave him the day off last night finally, which was weird because they still had him go in there and pinch it at the end of the game, which I thought was kind of silly. But yeah, he's been due for a day off for about a week now. So hopefully he comes back tonight a little recharged. But yeah, it's guy's just playing his first couple weeks in big league baseball. It's, you know, you can't put all that on him. You know, it's already a lot thrust upon his shoulders leading off for a contending team, you know. So hopefully Tim Anderson can help stabilize that a bit back at in the leadoff spot, and everyone can kind of just fall back into place.
This dude they're facing tonight is the guy who just struck out 9 straight in a relief appearance, Tyler Alexander, correct? Didn't he do that over the weekend, strike out 9 straight to set a major league record for consecutive Ks by a reliever?
That's a great nugget.
That is a good nugget.
I believe that's the starter tonight for the Tigers. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's who they got going.
I think White Sox or the Sox are minus like 107 as a favorite, right?
Yeah, I saw him at minus 116. The total is 9.5. Gio Gonzalez making his third start of the year for the White Sox.
Yeah, man. I don't know if we can back him. I don't know if we can back him. If you want to talk to me overs or unders, that's fine. Or if you want to bet against the White Sox, that's fine. I'm not sure I'm in a place to be betting on Gio Gonzalez, even with your money.
Yeah, I think overs. We could root for both teams. So I could have a happy Daniel Torrance experience tonight for Nico Goodrum, who had one of the home runs last night. And I was, because Danny Torrance from The Shining, Red Rum, I was yelling, Goodrum, when he's running the bases tonight. It'll be a celebratory Goodrum.
Yeah, he was hitting 144 before the game last night, and then he goes 4-for-4.
Yes, he did. Goodrum.
Well, speaking of Chicago teams and gambling on them, Mac, the Hawks are plus 250 for the series against the
Hawks.
Yes. Yeah. 250. Bet 100, win 250. Bet 10 bucks, get 25. We will talk with Daniel Negreanu, one of the most famous poker players in the game, huge hockey fan, huge Vegas Golden Knights fan. He helped bring the team to Vegas. So kind of an unconventional scouting report with the Hawks opponent. We'll get some poker stories out of Kid Poker next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Guys, let me say, it's noble work you're doing.
On 670 The Score.
We have like jacks or queens or something like that. Is that what you have with a spade? Is that what you have? Jacks or queens with a spade? Oh, I got it. He smiled. That's what he's got.
I'm smiling because you are talking.
Oh, I love to talk. I don't shut up. You haven't been paying attention the last 4 hours?
Story checks out.
When have you seen me shut up? I just keep blah, 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 blah. Diarrhea of the mouth. Can't help myself.
Story still checking out.
What do you have?
What do I have? I would tell you, except you're not allowed. It's an EPT rule. I would tell you exactly what I have, but I can't.
Cool, because you're a Negrian.
I have a king. No. Okay, works.
So Daniel wins the last hand of the level.
This is fun. I love fun playing poker. I have more fun when I don't shut up either. I'm sorry if it's too much, but I can't help it. I just can't help myself. Blah, 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 blah.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That clip from the European Poker Tour. Perfect opportunity to welcome on our next guest. He is a member of the Poker Hall of Fame. He's won 6 World Series of Poker bracelets. Frankly, he is one of the faces of modern poker. And he's a diehard hockey fan who played a big role in bringing the Vegas Golden Knights, who, of course, are the Blackhawks' next opponent, to Vegas in the first place. Daniel Negreanu with us by way of the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Daniel, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. As we speak, I'm currently streaming live on YouTube and playing a little World Series of Poker on GG Poker.
You know what? That's it's an incredible amount of multitasking that you're doing. Are we going to distract you in any way? Are you concerned?
No, you're good. My favorite subject of all is hockey, so I'm excited to, you know, get chatting about this great matchup we got.
Well, you know, we consider it a great matchup because we weren't expecting playoff hockey, Daniel. As you know, it's not been a great year for the Blackhawks, but they get the chance in these expanded qualifying rounds to get in, and they took care of business against the Edmonton Oilers. You think they're going to provide a tough task for your Golden Knights?
Okay, so if I'm being completely honest and you look at history, you know, I think we're 8-1 lifetime against Chicago.
We've handled
them pretty well. I think we match up incredibly well. The Vegas team doesn't look like Edmonton. You know, Edmonton's kind of a two-man show, a bunch of, like, scrubs, if you will, for the most part. Vegas is very, very deep, and I think it's going to be too much for Chicago to handle. I don't think you're going to see guys like Matthew Highmore on the fourth line running it up against a stacked team like the Vegas Golden Knights.
So give us the scouting report. So they're deeper than Edmonton, but what do we need to know about the Golden Knights?
Well, there's not only the depth. You also have to look at another factor. We picked up at the deadline an additional goalie in Robin Lehner, who's a top 5 goalie in the league as far as I'm concerned. His numbers have shown that to be true the last couple of years. So this is going to be an interesting playoff. Normally, it's every other night you have a game. Well, games 3 and 4, as far as I know, are going to be back-to-back. So we have the benefit of going – you know, Lehner, Fleury, which is 2 top-notch goalies, and I think that might be a little bit difficult for Chicago, who's obviously going to rely on Corey Crawford, and they acquired Malcolm Subban from us. On the defensive end, it seems like, you know, Chicago has a lot of holes there, not as deep. The team's a little bit older than it has been, you know, sort of hanging on to those cup runs of old. And Vegas is really hungry, as you could see in the round robin. You know, they made a couple key comebacks. They beat some real heavy teams, so I wouldn't be surprised. I would be more surprised if Chicago won the series than I would be if Vegas swept the series.
Yeah, Robin Lehner, who spent some time here getting the start over Marc-Andre Fleury. You can do worse than having the NHL's 5th all-time wins leader backing up your starting goalie. And we have Corey Crawford, who has overcome a ton of concussions and the coronavirus. So, but we'll take our chances. Did you enjoy the Hawks from a pure hockey standpoint, even though it's not your team? You're a Torontonian. Sorry about the Maple Leafs not being good in a long time, Daniel. But did you enjoy the way the Hawks played the game during the dynasty years when they won 3 cups in 6 years?
Oh, God, yeah. Not only that, I mean, just even in the first series against Edmonton, like, if you're a hockey fan, that was a series to watch. You know, high-flying, lots of scoring. On my fantasy team, I've got one of the Blackhawks, a young kid named Adam Boqvist. So it's fun to watch him, you know, as he's learning the ropes. But, yeah, Chicago is one of those teams. It wasn't like watching the old days of New Jersey, who sort of clamped down and, you know, neutral zone trap back in the early 2000s. Chicago pushed the envelope offensively. Definitely a fun, dynamic team to watch with, you know, Seabrook and Duncan Keith back there, obviously a little bit up in age now. But looks like Duncan Keith seems rejuvenated after the pause.
Yeah, 4 months off certainly was good for his legs. We're talking to Daniel Negreanu about the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll get to a little poker maybe in a minute. What has your impression been overall on the quality of play since hockey has restarted in this, like, weird situation we're all watching?
Well, I think it's been really good, and I think for hockey bettors, you know, I think a lot of people weren't really sure what to expect. Like, all right, you know, is the pause going to allow for the more skilled teams to just kind of run over, you know, other teams? Or are the teams that are built better defensively going to, you know, do well? And it seems like if you look at most of the matchups, you look at Columbus against Toronto is probably the prime example. Good defensive structure, like the Islanders had against Florida, seemed to win out. So it'll be interesting to see if that holds true going forward. Now that we have, you know, the official bracket of 16.
What was the process like of campaigning to bring a professional hockey team to Las Vegas? Because on the surface, ice hockey in the desert doesn't seem like a match that is that logical.
Yeah, it wouldn't, right? Because, I mean, you think of Las Vegas, you don't think of it being like a hockey town, if you will, right? But neither was San Jose. San Jose wasn't exactly a hockey town, and they were the first sport in. And, you know, they became like, they became the team to root for in San Jose. As far as Vegas, yeah, I mean, initially we knew that people were not necessarily hockey fans, but Vegas, this is sports fans, right? That's where sports fans go to watch the NCAA finals, Super Bowl, all those kind of things. So once people had hockey in their first professional team, I think we were blessed to be the first to market rather than, you know, have like the NFL and the NBA come in and then hockey trying to like compete against that. We've got a foot up now, so when the NFL does come, I think that, you know, the fan base is solidified in Las Vegas.
The fan base gets treated to a trip to the Cup final in year one. What I won't mind about the series being played in Edmonton is being spared all the pregame stuff that you guys do out in Vegas. That's sensory overload, man. I need a Dramamine before that thing.
Too much fun for you, huh?
Yeah, it
wah,
is.
He's not a Vegas guy, Daniel. I was like, that is perfect. Like
too
that,
much
that
fun.
Hockey in Vegas, that's what it should look like. I would have expected nothing less.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing we knew when Vegas came into league. We know how to do glitz and glamour. So our pregame show was like nothing anyone has ever seen before. And, of course, now you're starting to see some other cities kind of try to, like, copy it. It's hard to copy an original like Vegas, but it's fun, right? It's fun. A lot of kids love it. They love the videos that go up on the screen. We've got our, you know, Golden Knight out there with a sword pulling it out of the stone. I mean, it's a little bit cheesy. And after you've seen it about 5-6 times, then you're like, all right, we need a new fresh one. But a lot of people going to their first game, it's what a kid will remember. And I bring a lot of kids to the games because I got 16 seats there. I got these season tickets for the kids as well. And that's one of the biggest things they remember, you know, is that intro, which is very special.
What's Vegas been like in this world of COVID-19? I would imagine it's been kind of eerie.
Well, you know, I don't leave my house, right? I mean, I'm in Cabo right now. But as far as, like, you know, when I am in Vegas, we were staying with the quarantine. And, you know, see, things seem to be pretty good in terms of, like, everyone, you know, adhering to the protocols and whatnot. And then we started to open things up a little bit. And as you'd expect, the numbers started to spike because we were supposed to have a hub city in Vegas rather than Edmonton. But then, you know, obviously the NHL, I think they made the right decision. They noticed the spikes happening in Las Vegas. Also, Vegas is a city that might distract some of the players, where Edmonton, it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to go bowling? Are you going to play ping pong? You know what I mean? So it
right.
wasn't exactly, you know, it was probably the perfect choice for them. But, I mean, yeah, seeing Vegas dark on the Strip, that was certainly, you know, felt a little apocalyptic.
We're talking to Daniel Negreanu here on The Score, big Golden Knights fan and Poker Hall of Famer. So you campaign to bring pro hockey to Vegas. How is the campaign going to get online poker federally legal, Daniel, because I was in college, you know, 06 to 09, just grinding out Poker Stars, Party Poker, the whole thing. I need it back in a big way.
Yeah, well, listen, we're working on it, right? At the federal level, I just don't think, you know, it's going to happen anytime soon. They've got bigger fish to fry right now with the COVID response and everything else going on with the election. But on a local level, I think state to state, if you can bring in California, which is a tough nut to crack because of a lot of the Indian tribes there, if you bring in a New York, those are really big markets and it would really boost the economy. There's other options too, other states and stuff, but I think that's where we really have to look at is like, you know, getting your state senators or whatever to take a look at it and realize, you know, this is free revenue. This is a free opportunity for, you know, the city to have a little bit of influx of funds, which seems like right now would be a good time for that.
Yeah.
We just got legalized sports gambling in Illinois, so I'm like, come on. If I can bet on a sporting event, I should be able to play a skilled game like online poker. It seems too obvious,
doesn't it? Right. Yeah. Like obviously, there's no real argument, but the truth is, a lot of the politicians that make the decisions, they really just don't get it. Like they just don't know. And listen, that's not a priority for them. Like running water. Streets, like most people most of their constituents don't have online poker ranked very highly. Because I've spoken to a lot of the politicians when I went to Sacramento and different things, and they're really like green to it. You know, when they talk about the internet, they talk about it as this, I don't know, they just have a really bizarre way of describing how things work on the internet. Like Sheldon Adelson at the top of that, like he's so clueless. He's like, he really just doesn't know how all this works.
They should watch Rounders because they would learn, like Danny just said, it's a skill game, Joe. See, now, Daniel, I'm not a poker player, but I love poker movies. And I have to ask a world champion poker player, which was your favorite of all the great poker movies?
I mean, it's Rounders and then the rest of them, okay?
Really?
You know, Rounders is like a cutting above all the other films. Like, if you are a professional poker player, it's a cult classic. It's the one to watch, the one that gives you the feel. Like anytime it's on TV, like if I'm at home and Rounders is on, I'm watching it. Like it's on in the background.
How jealous are all pro poker players that Johnny Chan's the guy who got to be in the movie? I know maybe not for Eric Seidel, but I mean, I have to imagine that's something that you guys all look up to Johnny Chan about.
I mean, listen, he's the perfect guy, right? Johnny effing Chan, as we like affectionately call him in the poker community. You know, he was perfect for it, I think. Like he played the role really well. I think Phil Hellmuth was supposed to maybe get that role, but I think Johnny Chan was a better fit for, you know, that kind of allure of what he was looking for.
Hellmuth talked his way out of it.
Well, Hellmuth, are you kidding me? Hellmuth would have wanted to do any and all of it. I mean, this guy, anything publicity related, Phil Hellmuth's gonna want to do it for sure. So I'm sure he was bummed not to get the role.
So as you're grinding now and you're live streaming and all of this, like so much of your reputation is the, you know, calling out hands, like when we brought you in and all this. I know that you can spot a tell by betting patterns and trying to how they play a hand and all that. But like, do you find your game to be impacted greatly by having to play more online and not as much live anymore?
Honestly, I enjoy playing online. It's just very convenient. Like I'm not wearing any pants. I'm pretty much never never wear pants. I'm in underwear all the time while I stream, while I play. So you don't have to go anywhere or around smelly people. You do give up a lot though, right? Because, you know, I can't see people's faces, so I have to take notes and kind of pay attention other ways.
So you prefer it because of the convenience and just like, do you find like it impacts your expected value for the earnings?
Yeah, no, I definitely think there's no question that, you know, I'm going to make more money in a live scenario because I can add like new reads and different things like that. But, I mean, you know, like I said, the convenience is worth a lot and I still feel comfortable playing online. You know, and that my game is solid enough to do real well.
What hockey bets do you have for the upcoming series?
All right. So we have a bunch. We have Tampa Bay. I have Tampa Bay for the series. I took Vegas. Sorry, guys. I laid a big price, 317. And I also have Dallas. I have a Twitter handle called @NHLHockey.
Oh, did we lose you? I think we might have lost Daniel Negreanu. That's too bad. If we get him back, great. If not, tell him thank you very much. We already took
hockey touts.
more of his time. Well, he loves
those
it,
hockey touts.
he will bet on anything. Like there's stories of him gambling on the golf course, obviously poker and cards and casino games. But yeah, he started to try to apply his trade to gambling on hockey. But that's really cool. I've been watching Daniel Negreanu play poker for about 15 years. He's the most entertaining player in the sport or the game, however you want to characterize it, without question. Maybe he'll come back, maybe not. Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock. If he calls back, we'll hop right back in with Daniel Negreanu. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
The NBA's in trouble. I think it's in big trouble, bigger trouble than they understand. And frankly, ice hockey, which is doing very well, they didn't do that. They respected the mores.
Oh my God.
That's
the President of the United States on with professional grifter Clay Travis on Fox.
I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it.
Oh, there's more than a little truth to it. Thank you again to Daniel Negreanu. Thank you to Nick Shepkowski. That was. I was just grinning ear to ear during that entire conversation. It's like, oh, man, that's Kid Poker. I've watched that guy play poker for like 15 years. I know
yeah,
I'm a huge
I
dork,
tell.
But I loved
you,
that.
You were stoked when we talked earlier today. I knew you were excited to have him on. And he's an approachable guy, nice enough guy. Took some time for us while still being online, multitasking, and trying to earn himself some money. Notice I didn't say win money. Earn himself some money. Because that's a skill game, and he's got it.
Yeah, he was playing in a $5,000 buy-in Hold'em tournament online while doing that interview. It's pretty impressive.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, the ability to do both things at the same time, pretty cool. Two pieces of news, one sports and one of slightly bigger importance. Actually, I'll let you guys be the judge. After sliding headfirst into first base last night, Lourie Garcia is going on the injured list to make room for Tim Anderson's return to the White Sox. That's the first piece of news. And Joe Biden has picked Kamala Harris to be his running mate on the 2020 presidential ticket. Which do you think is the bigger news?
Nice. Wow. What a two-pack of news there, Danny.
It's just so hard for me to determine which one actually is more significant. I just figured I'd pull the mob.
I was so focused on the latter, I forgot the former. Oh, Lourie Garcia's hurt, sliding into head for years. Yeah, I just, like, when before he even gets to the bag, I'm shaking my head. When I saw him getting in the position to go down and slide head first, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? They all are told not to do it, yet they do it anyway.
That is correct. It's one of those counterintuitive things where they feel like it will get them there first, and they feel like it's a hustle play, and I'm going all out for the team.
Yeah.
When really, it doesn't get you there faster, and it's a selfish show-off move because it makes you look tough and gritty and gets your jersey dirty, but there's a higher chance of injury, which then, of course, would hurt your team.
Yep, not first base. Not at first. There are other occasions for it when you're trying to avoid a swipe tag. First base, not a good idea.
Yeah, but Tim Anderson is back, and Kamala Harris is the VP. Whew, I wish that the presidential debate they should change the format, and they should make it like a WWE match where you could tag in your partner.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Would
that
it
would
be
good.
That'd be so great if there could just be like, let's talk about race in America. And it's Donald Trump against Joe Biden, but then Joe Biden just tags in Kamala Harris, and she comes, like, running onto the stage. Like, oh, my God.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... Go, you know the thing.
Somebody stop the damn man!
Tag. He hits a button, and Kamala Harris comes flying in with a chair.
Don't do this! Please, don't do this! Look at your family!
It would be so much better than what's about to happen over the next few months in this country. Hub Arkish always cheers us up or brings us down. Really, wherever mood we're in, Hub takes us in the opposite direction. It's a roller coaster of emotions. We'll talk to Hub Arkish next on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.